chat. Keep it alive through these lines I write. I keep it live cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling. When you feeling in flare, they can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah, just nod your head with it. So explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it. No scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool. Hear my heartbeat beating to the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind. Oh no, it's ponderoso, dope so. No overdose, cause it's dope, yo. Man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know. We getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursue.
Hey guys, we're back. We're having a, I don't know why, but it got disconnected there. Let me get DB back on here real quick, and then we'll be starting the show off. Anyway, like I was saying, thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you check out our website, theantimedia.org, and check out all the new updates.
Starting to see like a rollout now. I've been researching this stuff going on in Ferguson, Missouri, and how this is that first very initial FEMA rollout for a wave to see how martial law would take effect and to see if anybody would push back on the full militarization of a city just to deal with one particular segment of it, which is just insane in itself.
Yeah, it's crazy what's gone on over there, and we're gonna jump into that as well. You know, that's actually our first topic here. And first, I want to do a little bit of background stuff with what's been going on with the police and the police state and police statism in general, because it's been pretty horrible, man. I mean, it's like every day now, literally every single day that we're seeing this crap. You know, we're seeing these stories about people just getting gunned down in the streets. And I mean, how many innocent people do we need to lose before people finally stand up, you know? And there was that other story, that guy that got shot in Walmart because he had a toy gun that he was inside the store with that he was probably going to buy or whatever. And a cop just takes it upon himself to just open fire and gun this guy down too. And it's just over and over and over. How many times have we got to see this? Now, I don't know if it's just that. I don't know if it's that there's more and more police violence, police incidents going on, or if it's more and more people with cameras on their phones, or both. But either way, it's very, very disturbing. But the good news is, people are you know, waking up to this. Now, I joined the Cop Block team, I don't know, a year ago maybe. When I came on, I was they brought me on to help them with their social media stuff, and I brought another guy on from our team. Actually, we should have him on the show maybe on Wednesday or something. The guy from Police to Police, Jason, he's awesome. Me and him came on to help Cop Block out with their social media stuff, and they had like 35,000 followers when we joined up. And we're probably gonna break 1 million followers this week, man. So people are really waking up to this stuff, and they're wanting to get involved. Unfortunately, when something like this happens, just like what's going on over there in Ferguson, Missouri, hits that close to home, it's kind of hard to say, you know, what is it that we're going to do when all these emotion and all this tension gets built up and, you know, there's no clear plan of action and stuff. People end up doing something dumb, which is what happened with this whole rioting thing, because, you know, the businesses that got destroyed weren't in any way harming these people. Well, maybe they're harming their health if you talk about, yeah, they looted a Walmart. Maybe I should kind of support that one. But you don't go and loot mom and pop shops, because that's just not very smart. But you know, here's the thing, man, and I wrote an article about this on the Anti-Media Today, and it really kind of pissed me off, and so I just had to get it off my chest. But you know, here's the thing, is the media now has fixated on this looting thing, and now they're not even hardly talking about the fact that the cops gunned down this 18-year-old unarmed kid. I mean, and all the reports are like, oh, you know, this African-American man. I don't consider an 18-year-old a man. That's, to me, that's a kid. Okay, that's a teen. You know, and this is someone that's under 21. And with all this media coverage with the looting, we've completely, well, not everybody, but a lot of people have completely lost sight of what we're actually supposed to be talking about right now, which is the fact that the cops are gunning down people in the streets that are unarmed.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, they're going to do it on, you know, the first, most obvious portion of our populations just to see what they can do. Maybe they can draw people into some kind of a frenzy. I think people are a little too smart for that right now, and they understand that they're outmatched and outarmed, because they're what basically happened here was we got to see the rollout of what martial law will look like. These guys have military-grade vehicles at their disposal. And as we saw from a hidden video interview with a cop a couple of days ago, maybe a week ago, where he pretty much came out flat and said, hey, you know what, if the federal government is not pretty much following the Constitution anymore, we're not going to either. That's the prevailing attitude. So if the people in this country are okay with that, then what will happen will be a full-scale, pretty much police state. I mean, everything you do will be controlled down to minimize risk to the ruling elite. And there will be no chance for any social upheaval, and there will be no chance to have a better future and a brighter future. It's going to be the monarchy again, and serfdom, enforced with the grid that they're building. So if we can get around that, I mean, this is the first step of it. They're going to try to make our own police forces fight our own civilians, which is just, you know, it shows the mentality of a lot of people in this country.
Yeah, and it's something that seems like it's going to happen pretty soon here, man. Because like I was saying at the beginning, I don't know whether there's an increase in violence or not. Now we just have better documentation because everyone has these phones, and people are taking advantage of live streaming services and stuff so that the cops can't take your phone and destroy your evidence. But it almost seems like they're trying to provoke this kind of stuff to happen. They're trying to get people to get out and do these stupid things in the streets and, you know, just to gauge what's going on. Now, here's one thing I'll tell you. Seeing these people riot tells me one thing. People are fed up with what the hell is going on right now, and they're ready to do something about it. They just need to have the right plan of action, the right way of going about doing it in order for it to be effective, because what was done last night was not effective. But that energy can be directed in the right way where it could actually do something that will actually make a difference.
Yep, and I think Anonymous is doing that right now. There's people now that are not in the community that are getting involved because they understand this is the point of the spear, where everything is going to start. They're just choosing middle America, the middle of a community, the middle of the FEMA zone after a flood that they anticipate may come from heavy rains. There's so many deep connotations into this, and it wasn't chosen at random, not at all, not at all. You're sitting in the heartland that's supposed to be the most dramatically affected by what they're considering climate change, and pretty much the heartland in the Midwest is going to be decimated in the next couple decades. So they want to get a head jump on it. I urge everybody to read pretty much what's going on right now is trying to do a clamp down before there's a food shortage. Just read into it.
Now, before we look too far into this, I just want to, you know, get back to the main point here, which is no matter what happened, no matter with the riot, looting, all that stuff, the main point here, to not let ourselves get, you know, thrown off course here by the corporate media, is that taking it at face value, what the cops did there is absolutely horrible. They gunned a kid down in the middle of the street that was unarmed. And according to witnesses, he had his hands up in the air. And the media is trying to spin us for this loop and act like it's, oh, now it's all about the riot. The riot's the bad part. They destroyed a couple convenience stores. Well, not really, because all that crap that these guys jacked and that they destroyed, it's all replaceable stuff. It's all stuff that's probably covered by insurance. It's all stuff that can be replaced in a couple of days. But the parents of Michael Brown are never going to be able to replace their son. And that kid is forever gone. He was about to go to college. The cops took his life, most likely just, let's face it, man. I mean, they were probably prejudiced against him. They were probably stereotyping him. And that's the way his life ended, at the hand of a cop's gun. And that's absolutely horrible. And, you know, that's really what people should be talking about. We got to talk about, hey, why is there a rise in police violence? Why are the police getting militarized? And the media conveniently shifted us away from that and started talking about this whole looting stuff. Now, while we're on this police state stuff, there is a new bill coming into some action here where these congressmen and kind of ironically, they're these Republican dudes. I'm guessing they're from like the Liberty Caucus or whatever. They're proposing some new legislation that's supposed to demilitarize all these ABC agencies, you know, the IRS, the EPA, and all that stuff, which would be a positive step in the right direction. Is it going to pass? Probably not. Probably just a big PR move, but at least it's being proposed, and at least it's going to be talked about, because that's our main weapon here, is raising the awareness and getting people to understand what the hell is going on, so that when a solution finally is presented, there'll be enough people that understand, okay, yeah, things aren't right now, let's try out this new solution. You know, and that's what we really need right now, until we really have concrete plans in place about how we're going to deal with these types of things. For now, the greatest asset we have is just getting people aware of what the hell is going on, and I think that's the great function that Cop Block is serving right now, and I'm lucky to be a part of the team so that my voice and our information can be heard as well, is bringing that awareness about, man, and that's all we can really do for now until we start testing out ideas in real life about how do we make alternatives to police? And we have another article on the anti-media that you guys can pull up. It's about autonomous self-defense communities where people basically real-world solutions to getting rid of the cops and having community-based solutions. You guys can find that on the anti-media. Just search autonomous defense groups. But basically, Derek Bros wrote it, and it's kind of modeled after what they've done in Mexico, down in these zones where the locals have taken over the communities away from the drug cartels and away from the government, because they all know they're both corrupt. And I think that is probably the direction that we need to move in, a non-government, community-based direction of policing and securing our own communities, where the people actually have accountability that are up there, and they're kind of like a... What are they called? Neighborhood watch type of thing. Hopefully not like George Zimmerman, but you know what I mean. A kind of a more community-based thing where people can actually fire people if they do something wrong, and they're not going to get paid vacation for killing a kid. You know, and that's basically the extent of punishment right now for cops, if you can call it a punishment. I mean, they get slapped on the wrist and they get paid on administrative leave. Now, there was another story covered by Justin King on the anti-media as well, about this other cop story where it took 3 years, man. These cops, and there was video, some guy, it was in a park, and these cops just beat this guy down. Yeah, he ran from them, but they caught him, and he went down to the ground, and he was giving up. And these cops, man, at first it was one, he was just stomping the guy, and then another guy runs up, he starts stomping the guy, then a third guy runs up, and they all continue to stomp the guy, and it's all on video. It took 3 years for this cop to finally get fired and get charges pulled up against him. For all that other time, he was either still working or he was on paid administrative leave. Basically, he was on vacation for that whole time. You know, so we're not getting any kind of accountability out of these cops, and that's where we need to focus our attention. When we see these big stories that actually get mainstream coverage, like that big guy that got choked out by the NYPD a couple weeks ago, and then this story that popped up down in Ferguson. These are the kind of times that we need to capitalize on pushing this accountability agenda and pushing these alternative agendas. And we can't let everybody get fed into this whole thing about focusing on, oh, yeah, they should have rioted, or no, they shouldn't have rioted, or this is why they rioted, no, this is why they didn't riot. Well, none of that matters. People riot. People do dumb things all the time. Nobody died. Okay.
Well,
it's
like,
all junk that could be replaced. Okay, cool. Let's keep it on the real issue, which is bringing accountability to these damn cops.
Well, it's like Michael Brown's mother even said, you know, if this kid who's about to go to college is going to get shot 10 times and they're going to leave his body in the street like that and then militarize around this guy and not cover him up, I mean, it pretty much shows that they already are kind of considered, you know, a lesser person. So what do they have to lose, man? Why do they care if they riot? Why do they care if this even spreads as far as they can spread it out? What do they have to fear anymore if they can die at any minute? If any one of them, if even one of these kids not involved really with any of this stuff, can just die at any minute because he doesn't listen to a police. Now, that's the thing is, I don't know if you saw earlier today, but there's an article about one of these police commissioners said, you know, if you resist us, expect to die. And this was put out in print, man, and is there an outcry towards it from the general public? Well, they're so cowed at this point that a lot of them are like, no, this is just, anything's justified to keep the peace. Well, it's really not. At what point does it become just, it becomes murder? It's justified just like in a war on our own civilian population. And that's the beginning of martial law. And martial law in this country would never work. So it's like they said, it's the fracturing. The fracturing is about to start.
It's very, very Nazi-like in its basis, you know. Just like how the Nazis were kind of people. You've heard that story. Well, they came for the communists, and I didn't say anything because I'm not a communist. And they came for the Jews, and I didn't say anything because I wasn't a Jew. They came for the Christians. You know that whole story, man, and it's kind of that same thing, and people rationalize these killings on keeping the peace, but after 9/11, man, people really got brainwashed to the point where they'd rather give up their liberties and their freedoms just to, quote-unquote, keep the peace, when unfortunately the peace isn't being kept. As we see with this situation now, it perfectly explains how the peace isn't being kept, because when it comes down to it, the cops are at the very root of why these people, why there was unruly behavior going on. It wasn't because of the people, it's because of what the cops did. And the people are just so frustrated from all these years of being discriminated against and this horrible economic situation that they've been placed in because of the economic system. And like you were saying, people feel so hopeless, man. Everybody at this point, even the people in the middle class that are seeing their wages become stagnant and all the prices skyrocketing and all this inflation and all their savings disappearing and they're underwater on their houses and all this stuff. And people are just losing hope, man, because the system has betrayed us all. And so I don't really – now, I'm not condoning the riots. I think they were dumb. I don't think they were productive. But at the same time, I understand why they did it. Because of this horrible situation that people are in. And after all these years of getting this police misconduct and the police discriminating against you and not seeing any kind of repercussions or any kind of accountability towards the police, well, guess what? You lose hope and you do dumb things. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah. I mean, one of the most telling videos is one where these two guys were pretty much just taking a trash can to a bus stop and shattering the windows out. And this guy said, man, that's messed up. Somebody's going to have to, you know, sit on that glass tomorrow when they're waiting for the bus to work. It's not like this changed anything. Like, people are still going to have to live their lives. Now, what would have been productive would have been basically making it so uncomfortable for the police. You can go to the headquarters or whatever, and they were even saying, can we please organize some sort of a protest and not this violent mob reaction. So you know these are, you know, pretty much isolated incidents. Now, is it becoming to the point where everybody takes advantage of it that can? Yeah, of course. There's pent-up frustration there. So, yeah, you're right. It's a bunch of things just happening at one time. And it's being politicized for the opposite reason of what most people that are logically thinking about it are thinking about it. They're trying to brainwash into you thinking, it's going to be a big civil disobedience and unrest, and it's going to spread to your neighborhoods and blah, blah, blah. We need to militarize everywhere and make it more secure and everything. Some people will buy into that. Most people have had it already, man. Most people I know that have never gotten a ticket or never had a bad encounter with the police still are looking at them as just with a lot of distrust, and it's not going to stop here. It's not going to like be people are going to welcome with open arms when they start setting up checkpoints for your safety. It's just not going to happen.
I think we missed a call there a few minutes ago. If anybody wants to call in and chime in on this stuff, if you guys disagree with us, we want to hear from you. You agree with us, we want to hear from you too. Feel free to call in. We have open lines tonight, 718-717-8296. That's our call-in number. Once again, it's 718-717-8296. We'll give you guys a few minutes to call in here before we move on into this foreign policy stuff, which I see as pretty much the most pressing issue of our time, at least here on the radio and probably in our lives, it seems like. Now, this whole thing, man, as I said, people that are thinking, oh, well, these riots are going to spread, so we got to go crack down. I mean, first of all, you got to remember, the cops are why this whole thing happened. The second thing you got to think about, and I made this point in the article today on the anti-media, is that part of the reason why these riots started, and I don't know exactly why they started, but I'm guessing that a big part of it is because of this outrageous militarized police presence that was there trying to, quote-unquote, contain these peaceful protests. These protesters were completely peaceful. They were completely civil. Yeah, they were screaming F the police and all that stuff. Who wouldn't? But I think the reason why these riots set off is because there was so many damn cops out there and such a presence with all these dogs and all this stuff. It brought up such old emotions that the people started losing it. They started throwing bottles at the cops. They started throwing all kinds of words around. And eventually it just escalated to a point where it turned into a riot. So, first of all, the cops caused the situation in the first place by shooting the kid. Secondly, the cops probably caused the riot by their just sheer militarized presence. And just like we've made the point in a few articles about these MRAPs and these armored vehicles, how they have just simply by the cops having these armored and militarized vehicles and weaponry, it gives them this kind of attitude that they're pretty much invincible. Well, when you put that kind of weaponry to use against a large amount of people that are extremely upset, guess what? You're going to piss them the hell off. And I think that also may have led to what happened over there, man. So out of all this stuff happening, we can't sit here and try to make the big story out of the rioting. That'd be completely foolish. We just need to keep in mind what happened, who the victims really were. So what, a Walmart got looted? Yeah, it was dumb. But that's not the real story here. The real story is the rise of the police state, and we all need to wake the hell up to it because it's coming to every little hometown near you. Here in Chula Vista, we got a massive presence of militarized police. We've got at least two MRAPs here in my small town. We've only got a couple 100,000 people that live here, and we have hardly any violent crime. There's a lot of drug crime and stuff, but there's hardly any violent crime. No need to have two MRAPs in our community, but yet we do. And when is it going to be used? Who's it going to be used against? Who knows? Is it going to turn out bad? Most likely, because whenever these guys pull these MRAPs out, guess what? People end up dying. There was another story, a month and a half ago, where these guys took these hostages, and the cops just kept chasing them, and they pull out the MRAP, and guess what happens? All three of the hostages end up shot. Because instead of the cops backing away and say, okay, let's try to de-escalate this, they just ram their equipment down there and say, hey, well, you can't shoot us. We're just going to send our tanks in. Well, guess what? Your hostages are going to get shot. So, I mean, these guys are going about things in the complete opposite way. They're not trying to de-escalate. They're just like, we're so strong. We don't care if you're escalating. We don't care if you shoot at us. We have armored military-grade vehicles. Come on, bring it. You know, and that's what these guys are thinking. These guys are they're a testosterone overdosed group of brutes, and when you get a bunch of these guys together, they do really dumb things. And we really need to make an effort, whether it's locally, federally, whether we try to support this new bill that's coming up through the House to demilitarize the ABC agencies, whether it's to get body cameras on your local police, which they're getting ready to do here in San Diego, which I think is kind of a positive thing, or whether it's just joining Cop Block and turning the camera on the cops and live streaming your situations or going out and trying to shut down these Nazi DUI checkpoints and all this stuff. One way or another, man, I think honestly the best way of doing it, of course, is attacking at every angle. So I think we should support legislation. We should support community actions. We should support local legislation. We should support alternative policing ideas and stuff like that. We need to hit it at every angle. And then sooner or later, we can bring this police state to its knees. But if we stay quiet, we allow ourselves to be stampeded in this direction. Oh, just keep us safe. We don't care if you militarize. Protect us from those rioters. Even though there's only a handful of rioters, only, what, 15, 17 people got arrested? There wasn't that many people. It wasn't like there were thousands of people out there rioting and looting. It was just a handful of people that lost it. Okay? They weren't a threat to the larger community, I don't think. And the people that say, I saw a bunch of comments today were like, you see, that's why we do need cops, is because, you know, when things like that happen. Well, no. The cops are what caused that thing to happen, so no, we don't need cops. We need solutions, and we need, if we do have cops, they need to be 100% accountable and 100% transparent.
I mean, what could you imagine how different it had been if a bunch of counselors came in and offered, you know, support to people that were there, obviously upset, and instead we're met with those kind of people and EMS type people. But no, they got met with an MRAP and with police dogs. I mean, a lot of them, dozens of them. And 210 officers responded. Can you imagine that? I look Ferguson up, man. Ferguson's not that big. That means that other police departments in that vicinity emptied out to go down there. That's what the encroaching police state is. That's what mission creep becomes when you try to offload a bunch of equipment you can't do anything with when you're the government. Under that pretense, you arm a bunch of people that really honestly could probably not do a great job in the military and probably went to the police force for that exact reason. You ever notice how there's not that many there's not that many of each. You're either a military or a cop. There's not so many of both that have done both jobs. They don't really correlate well, man. One follows the will of the people. One follows their corporate master. It's very different.
Yeah, man. So I don't know if anyone's going to – if anyone wants to chime in, here's your last chance. We're going to start moving on into this foreign policy stuff for now. We can go back to it because it's such a big issue. And I think it's kind of symbolic of our larger issue, which is just people not – just these bureaucrats so out of touch that they think that they need to throw these weapons of war on the streets as if we're the damn enemy. We're the people paying these guys' bills. We are supposed to be the people who they are keeping our rights upheld. Now, when's the last time you've been pulled over by a cop where the cop was over there trying to uphold your rights? Because every time I've ever been pulled over by a cop, that guy immediately tried to undermine my rights by tricking me into letting him search my vehicle, or letting him give me a breathalyzer, or asking me where I'm heading, where I'm going, who I'm with, let me see your papers. I mean, are we in Nazi Germany? These guys are supposed to be protecting our rights and our liberties. That's what they're hired to do. That is what their job description is. But as soon as they take that oath, it's like, okay, here's the oath, but we're not actually going to, you know, we're not going to hold you to that. What we actually want you to do is the opposite. We want you to learn how to break people's rights. We want you to learn how to trick people into incriminating themselves. We want you to learn how to entrap people. We want you to learn how to do unconstitutional checkpoints, search and seizure without warrant. It's like, what the hell do they do with that oath? And that's why I'm so thankful for this Oath Keeper organization. And yeah, they may be conservative-leaning and stuff, but on a lot of things, they are in the right place, and they believe in the oath. They believe in liberties. They don't believe in searching and seizure, you know. Yeah, they may be a little extreme on the border situation and immigration and all that stuff. That's, you know, that's their opinion, and okay, I disagree with them, but whatever. I think the fact that the Oath Keepers exist is a positive sign of kind of the broader sentiment and the support that the Oath Keepers get. Oh, man, there's a lot of people that support the Oath Keepers, man, and I think that's great because that's what we need. We need people, if they're going to join the military and they're going to join the police and stuff, eventually one day I hope to make all that stuff irrelevant. But for now, if there's going to be people doing that stuff, then we need to have them accountable and actually live by that oath that they take, which is supposed to be to protect our rights and our liberties. Now let's move into this this whole Iraq thing, man, because this thing is going down. The U.S. has launched wave after wave of airstrikes. And I think a lot of people got duped this time around, and I don't blame people because I think we've all been duped over and over again in Iraq. If to add a little context to this, if you remember back in the 90s, early 90s, now I don't remember personally, but I did a bunch of research to look it up and figured all this stuff out. But there was this little girl that came out and she did this little congressional presentation, and she claimed that these little babies were getting thrown out of the incubators by Saddam Hussein and that they were getting thrown on the ground and stomped to bits. And that kind of led to our pretext, and it kind of built the public opinion and said, yeah, you know what? Yeah, screw Saddam Hussein. He's horrible. Even though we just got done being his buddy like 3 years ago, that guy's bad. He's throwing babies out of the incubators. Now, what we have to remember about the whole baby in the incubator thing, which is one of the biggest things that got us into Iraq in the first place, is that it was a completely made-up, fabricated lie. Okay, that little girl turned out to be, I think it was the Qatari ambassador's daughter, and it was completely made up, it was completely a lie, but the government sold it to us, hook, line, and sinker, everybody bought into it. A few months later, after we started invading Iraq, the whole story dropped from the headlines, no one ever mentioned it again until later on where it was found out who this little girl really was, and she turned out to be basically a Saudi-aligned, basically a U.S.-aligned ambassador's daughter. And that's what got us into Saudi, into Iraq in the first place. And now we have to look now at the situation with ISIS. A lot of this video and a lot of these images coming out that are purportedly coming from ISIS's Twitter feed and stuff like that, they look very, very staged, bro. I mean, I can't say 100% for sure, but there's a few details that I do want to go into later, which may kind of back this up, whether or not it's true about these videos or not, I don't know. But, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense that these guys are going to put out videos recording themselves shooting little kids in the back of the head. I mean, why the hell would they do that? Do they want the U.S. to get into war with them and go bomb them? I mean, they're putting out videos of cutting people's heads off and putting them on spikes and stuff like that. It just doesn't make sense to me. Now, here's the thing. What sold America on this brand new bombing of Iraq, and Obama, first of all, he said, oh, yeah, this is going to be very limited surgical strikes. And then as soon as he started bombing, a day later, he said, well, this isn't going to be a short project. This is going to be long term. You know, and it was just like, oh, okay. Like, it's a day later. No longer is it going to be a couple quick strikes. Now this is going to be a drawn out thing. Like, literally one day later. And Obama said this. And if you look at these strikes, these airstrikes, and where they hit. Now, this is the most telling thing to me. And our friend Brandon Turberville brought this up. He's a writer on the anti-media. He has a show here on UCY as well. And he wrote this great article over on Activist Post. Now, I don't agree with everything that he put in there. But this point here makes a lot of sense. Where were the airstrikes so far, as of now, where have the airstrikes hit that the U.S. has dropped in Iraq? I'll tell you where. They've hit Erbil, which is in the Kurd-controlled area of Iraq, which just so happens, quote-unquote coincidentally, to be Kurdistan's oil hub. Now, where have the airstrikes not hit? They haven't hit anywhere near Mount Sanjar, where all these 40,000 people were stuck and surrounded by ISIS, facing death by execution or death by starvation, which is what sold the American people to say, oh, yeah, whatever, just go ahead and start limited strikes. As long as it's limited and as long as we're going to just save these 40,000 people stuck on this mountain, okay, yeah, let's do it. Now, there's the thing. Our airstrikes did not hit anywhere near that mountain. They hit Erbil. They hit where the ISIS dudes were about to capture a bunch of oil infrastructure. So why are we going back into Iraq again? Well, in my opinion, it's for the oil. It's not to protect anybody. We don't give a damn about protecting civilians. If we did, we would have stopped Israel from doing what they were doing. Instead of Obama just paying lip service to saying, hey, Israel, you guys need to stop killing civilians, or we need to promote a ceasefire, while at the same time he goes and refunds all of their munitions and refills all of their weaponry. If we really cared about humanitarian issues, we would have stopped Israel from going into Gaza, but we didn't. So now the U.S. is like, oh, well, now there's a real humanitarian crisis over there in Iraq because these people are kind of like Christians. They're not really Christians, but they're kind of like Christians. And so we got to stop them because 40,000 of them are going to get slaughtered. Well, you guys have had, a week and a half to drop your bombs, and you haven't dropped a bomb on one target where these ISIS dudes have these Christians, quote-unquote Christian guys, surrounded. You dropped your bombs to protect oil. I mean, that's where I'm at with this thing. They lied to us again. Let's face it. They've lied to us how many times to go into Iraq? How many times have we gone into Iraq under false pretense? To think that the government is finally not going to lie to us and of all people under Obama? No, man. I mean, they completely lied to us. They fooled everybody. Even a lot of my anti-war friends are like, yeah, you know what? I hate the fact that we're going into Iraq, but yeah, those ISIS guys are horrible. Yeah, well, that's the same exact thing we said about Saddam Hussein. You know, and that's where I stand on this thing. I don't know about you, but that's where I'm at. I think this whole thing is based on garbage. They fooled us again, and I'll tell you who's benefiting. Have you looked at the stocks of the military contracting companies lately? These guys are making a killing.
Yeah, it's exploding. I mean, and the drones are rolling off the conveyor belt, and it gives you the perfect pretense to open up like this string of drone bases to pretty much go out and control any oil wells. Now, they don't really care if they're going to commit these brazen acts of genocide on people that are pretty big minorities there. There's only about, I think, 300,000 of these Yazidis. And in fact, they're being called, you know, Satan worshippers and everything else, and supposedly they're slaughtering whole families and stuff like that. So you've painted ISIS as this perfect, perfect villain to go back in again and establish more control. And this time it'll be in Syria. We're going to go into Syria now. if that doesn't make sense to people, I don't know what will. We don't need to go in with troops. We'll now go into their airspace. And what in the hell can Assad do? Once ISIS, which is armed with very advanced anti-aircraft stuff, takes out all of his MiGs, he's going to ask for our help. This is how the game is played. ISIS is our creation. It's going to take down Syria, and then Iran will be forced to negotiate on unfavorable terms. That's the world stage.
And here's the thing. Russia's there in the background. Russia, of course, has a foreign policy kind of similar to ours. They do horrible things. They're back in the Assad regime, and here's the thing, man. I don't think Assad is a great guy. I think he's horrible because he cracked down on those protests and he was killing his own people. And I agree, he's a bad guy. Just like Saddam is a bad guy. And just like Gaddafi was a bad guy. But is it America's place in the world to go and knock over these dictators, which many times, especially in Saddam's case, was our buddy-buddy for a long time, even when he gassed the Kurds. He gassed the Kurds with our weapons that we supplied him. He gassed Iran with our weapons that we supplied him.
Because and if it is our job, we're an autocratic state now. We're way beyond an oligarchy. There's absolutely no more voice except for one of conquest under the pretense that it's morally right because might is right and we'll make order out of chaos in the world. And that's the whole dialect that we follow and we've been kind of brainwashed into following all along. There's so much instability in the world, we have to be the shining force, even if it means becoming as bad as the people we have to fight to do it. And it just seems that like that's the prevailing attitude and excuse being used for taking care of people here at home, whether it be in Ferguson or people over there that are being bombed smithereens from 15,000 feet, man, I have no idea what's coming. So it's all the same engine and the same machine. And it's gearing up.
Yeah, man. And, you know, here's the thing. Especially considering that the bombs that we're dropping over there aren't actually humanitarian bombs. these are bombs that are going out to protect the oil industry. Now, a point that Brandon made in his article on Activist Post, which I'll probably actually republish on the anti-media tomorrow. If you guys want to read it, it'll be on the anti-media top stories tomorrow. Is this. If Kurdistan were to break away from Iraq and become its own country, and if it were to keep its own oil wells that it has up there, you know how big of an oil producer it'd be? It'd be the 9th largest oil producer in the world, okay? So these people have a lot of oil. And that is why we're going in there. The American government does not give a damn about innocent life. If we're going to be dropping anything in Iraq, it should be humanitarian aid. It should be food. It should be water. If we're going to help these people on that mountain, that's what we should be dropping, humanitarian aid. And here's why. The Kurds already went in there. And here's the thing. The Kurds are the people from that area. They actually have something to fight for. They're going to fight ISIS tooth and nail to the very last house standing. ISIS will never take Kurdistan. Kurdistan is a mountainous area. That's like us trying to beat the Taliban. It's just not going to happen. Okay? So that's one thing. Here's the second thing. The Kurds already went in there and rescued 20,000 people off that mountain quietly. And they didn't need any help. They did it on their own. They went through Syria because the Kurds are a people that have been Kurds are people that are trapped between borders. They're trapped between Syria, they're trapped between Iraq, Turkey, Iran, all in that mountainous area, and they've been living there for probably thousands and thousands of years. They probably have tunnels, and they have plenty of ways to defend themselves. Mountains are typically very, very hard to take, looking at from a military standpoint.
They all have a Mujahideen kind of philosophy, too. I know a guy who's a Kurd, and his father had to leave because his father was, you know, way too involved fighting actually for against the Soviets in Afghanistan for us, and then he got safe harbor over here. And they've always been kind of like a friendly type of regime for us, mostly because they fought the Soviets, and they still want to. And they'd be a perfect natural balance on Assad's border. So, yeah, they're going to get propped up. This is the whole thing, was to divide most of that area into you know, Kurdistan, and now there's going to be some other weird one they're going to try to start up. ISIS is going to try to state build, but they just, there's no way they're going to. They're getting hit by tribes now out in the desert when they're trying to get to these wells, so ISIS will be dealt with, and then it's chaos again. Again, another power vacuum will happen. So will three or four mini-states come out of this? Yeah, Kurdistan definitely. When Iraq's already armed Kurdistan, which, what the heck? Kurdistan, they've actually armed the Kurdish forces, so they accept them. They're legitimate now.
Exactly, and you know what? I was actually working on an article right now. I was editing for the anti-media from Justin King, and that's really the point that he's making, is that ISIS may be the one thing that'll actually bring these rivaling factions in Iraq together, because you have the Shiite, you have the Kurds, you got these other pseudo Christians, the Yazidis. And you have the kind of secular Sunnis that are out there that don't want violence. All they want is what you and me want, peace and opportunity and freedom. You know, and that's what they want. They want to live their own lives the way that they want to live it, whether it be according to their religion or whether it be according to whatever it is that they believe in. That's what they want. And what ISIS is doing right now is it's bringing, like you said right now, and it's very surprising because the establishment government in Iraq, in Baghdad, has always been at odds with the Kurds. And now the fact that they're arming them and helping them do airstrikes and stuff, it goes to show that they're kind of ISIS is bringing these people together. And out of this may build an organically stronger Iraq. Now, the only thing our meddling is doing is undermining any organic connections that they're making and any organic alliances that they're making, because now ISIS can say, oh, see, look, now we're fighting against the Americans. Who's the bad guy now? You want to side with Baghdad that's getting support from the U.S.? You want to side with the Kurds that are getting support from the U.S.? Or you want to fight against the U.S.? You want to join us? You know, so the only thing that we're serving to do right now by being in Iraq is increasing ISIS's ability to recruit more and more players, more and more militants from all over the world to go in there and want to fight against America, you know. And so whatever we're doing over there is just bad foreign policy once again. I mean, to think about that, we've been into Iraq at least three times now. You gotta understand that the people that are making these foreign policy decisions, they're either absolute idiots or they're absolute greedy geniuses that are just trying to make a shit ton of money for the military-industrial complex. Either way, I don't want anything to do with it, and I don't want my tax money or my family or friends having to go over there and represent these horrible ideas that our government is perpetuating throughout the world. You know, and so it's up to us, man, and we've said this so many times, and it's tough because Russia is a big counterbalance to our power and all that stuff, at least perceived. And Russian citizens have their own mess to deal with, and they're nowhere near our distrust of their government. In fact, according to at least the state-controlled polling, what's his name? Putin has record high approval rating and stuff like that. And, I mean, there's no telling how reliable those numbers are. But if you look at our government, I did an article about this earlier, what was it, this weekend? It was like Friday, maybe, about the polling numbers are showing that only 13% of Americans now trust the government to do the right thing. You know, so we're in a good place when it comes to reeling in our government, I think, because Americans get it. And as you see with this situation over in Ferguson, people are rioting. People are fed up. People are done. People are ready for a change. Now, the establishment is going to pull out all the stops in order to try to keep their power. But in the end, that's just going to be a pointless thing they're going to do. It's going to cost some lives. It's going to cost some liberties. But in the end, it's just going to push us further and further into this place where we say, you know what, we're done. Get rid of the federal government.
And they're going to extreme measures. Like, I'm starting to read some things that to me are boggle my mind as far as them now trying to approve radioactive waste metals, including aluminum, into stuff that would be surgically implanted into a human's body, like a root canal, which would, of course, give you radiation poisoning, and they would have plausible deniability, right? Because of the half-life supposedly making it safe. I mean, this kind of insane thinking can all be blamed and described in basically you will accept that it's done for profit when in fact profits, these guys don't care. They own everything already. It's always way more than that. And that's what it's all about, man. The military-industrial complex is about controlling everything with an iron fist eventually when the technology's there. And while it's not there, they're going to do everything they can to grab more control through insane means like that.
Yeah, and just like with the NSA, man, and if you look at all these revelations coming out of Edward Snowden's leaks, and now there's a second, and now there's even claimed to be a third leaker, how many reforms have we seen to the NSA since it all started? None. We haven't seen any reforms go to the NSA. We've seen a bunch of people extremely pissed off and a bunch of people talking about it, but guess what? The government no longer represents you. If they did, they would have reformed the NSA already. They would have. Obama would have written an executive order. Congress would have passed an emergency legislation and said, hey, we got to reel in the NSA.
And every community would have an alderman. I think we're starting to understand that we're going to need something like that. Like for every 5,000 residents, period, we need to have something set up where this community has a voice that can vote, that can make changes on a federal level, on a state level, and on a local level for sure. And represent our interests. We need to have that representation back, or else this doesn't work anymore. And we have to make voting easy, or it really doesn't work anymore. I mean, for instance, when's the last time anyone really voted? I don't know anybody, man, since maybe 2008. And the thing is, it doesn't make any sense, because we know it's Electoral College makes it pointless. Bring it back to your smartphones, make it a popular vote, watch what happens.
Anything would be better than this beyond oligarchy that we have now. I mean, even direct democracy, which we know is kind of the tyranny of the majority, that would still be better than the tyranny of the minority. Because right now, I would rather be under the rule of whatever 51% of the country says, because right now we're under the rule of what 0.0001% of the country says.
But it'll be microcosm. So, I mean, if one community's like in San Diego, we don't want to have legal pot, we don't like the influence it has on our community, and they make the presentation, cool. The next one over wants it, cool. We can get it down to everything. You want a militarized police state and you live in La Jolla? Go ahead. Pay for it. We won't mind, but we don't want it out here where we live. Every community should have it down to that micro level, and it's totally doable now with the advanced computers. We can keep track of everything so easily.
We got to use the blockchain, man. That's what Bitcoin's built off. It's a completely transparent public ledger system that's like unhackable. In fact, they use this technology to secure nuclear weapons now. The CIA uses it. The CIA is trying to recruit all the top Bitcoin programmers and stuff because it's such a secure technology. And I talked to this my buddy, and I think he was on Levon's show on the Anti-Media Radio on Fridays a couple weeks ago. And his name is Morgan Rockwell from Bitcoin Kinetics, and he was talking about the future of Bitcoin and how it can be used for BitCongress and Bitcoin-based voting systems. Completely transparent way of doing things, can't be corrupted, and that's the way we got to go, man. And make it easy for people to vote, and make it localized, and what we have to do is undermine the credibility of the federal government, because the federal government is so easily corrupted. Think about it, and I know we've mentioned this before. Think about this. There's almost 300 million people in this country, and we're being controlled by, 500, 600 people in Congress? How easy is it for these corporations and these whoever, who knows who else, to go and just buy out all these 500 dudes? If all 300 million of us represented ourselves, that would mean these companies have to buy off each and every one of us, and that just won't happen. When we put the control...
Maybe they should do that, Nick. Maybe we should all get 1 million bitcoins tomorrow, or January 1st when this Obamacare debacle starts and they force us to pay for a bunch of stuff that every other country in the world with our kind of resources has for free. Let's deposit 1 million bitcoins in everyone's account that has a Social Security. Let's take all the debt back and our collateral for our labor and all the generations in the past that these fools made bets on.
I mean, that would only make too much sense, man. But unfortunately, these guys are so greedy. That they would rather see the entire economy collapse than give up their little bit of power and their little bit of fortune. And the funny thing is that all these idiots, all these oligarchs, all these elite, whoever they are that control the things that go on in this country and control the economy and the foreign policy and all that stuff, all they are just frail old guys sitting behind a desk, just like any of us will be when we get old. They're just people. And they're so sick in the head that they think that they're willing to let a bunch of people die, and to say, oh no, well no, you that's a conspiracy. They wouldn't let people die. Oh really? Well, what the hell how do you explain what they just let Israel do? Not only let, they enabled them, and then as soon as it started happening, what they do? Oh, let's increase Israel's funding. Let's go ahead and send them another $250 million, and once they run out of ammo from dropping so many damn bombs on the Palestinians, let's go ahead and ship them some more munitions so that they could refill during the ceasefire. So yes, these oligarchs are definitely willing to sacrifice an innocent life. Over 100,000 people have already died in Syria because of the Syrian civil war, which is partially our fault, partially Russia's fault, because Russia's funding one side and we're funding the other. But these people don't give a damn. You know how many people have been displaced in Syria? Over 2 million people. And we're over here worried about 40, 50,000 people coming across our border from actions that we basically caused via the drug war and via horrible foreign policy in Central America. Just think about what Syria's neighbors are dealing with right now. Think about what Turkey's dealing with, Yemen. You got people even fleeing Syria because it's so effed up over there into Iraq. They're leaving Syria to get into Iraq, and Iraq is almost just as bad. But guess what? They're like, well, it's not quite as bad, so we'll go to Iraq. So we've totally decimated so many lives. Our government doesn't give two shits about people. They'll tug on your heartstrings and say Christians are dying whenever they want to enact some kind of foreign policy stuff, just like what they're doing right now in Iraq. And I know this is like the first anybody's ever heard of Yazidis, unless you're a student of history and geography. You probably never heard of the Yazidis before until now. And you probably and the funny thing is that they oh well it's kind of based on Christians, so yeah, it's Christians now. Well, guess what? Islam is also kind of based on Christianity too now, isn't it? So, yep. No, this is just complete warmongering. This is tugging on your heartstrings. The only thing we're doing in Iraq is harming the long-term situation. If we do drop anything, it should be humanitarian aid. And from what I've read, the humanitarian aid isn't even really – the stuff that we have dropped hasn't even reached the people that actually need it. In fact, I saw reports that ISIS possibly captured a lot of the humanitarian aid that we dropped. So guess what? We're dropping humanitarian aid and ISIS is picking up a free lunch and a free drink. So we need to get the hell out of there. Let the Kurds and the Shiites form some kind of coalition government and bring in the moderate Sunnis, and they can battle off these extremists on their own. They can build some kind of national pride and national unity off of that if that's the way it goes. If the country ends up splitting up into pieces, so be it. U.S. foreign policy is so horrible, so cumbersome, and so illogical. The best thing we can do is leave those people alone.
Yep, absolutely. I mean, the end game, of course, is going to be here soon. But then if it drags in Russia, because we actually are brazen enough to try to fly over the airspace and attack ISIS inside of Syria, especially if they turn away from Baghdad, which it appears they are going to do, because had they blown that dam, they'd go in after and mop up whoever was left, and they'd be right at Baghdad. So they're not going to go that way. They're going to go to Damascus for a reason, because they're our puppet, man, and we're going to fight our own puppet inside Syrian airspace and see what Russia does. And if they do nothing, then, well, checkmate, right?
Here's a thing that we can't forget. Whether you believe that ISIS is our puppet, whether you believe that our bombs are actually not targeting ISIS, or whether our bombs are just targeting protecting oil interests, here's the thing. ISIS is a direct creation, or the only reason ISIS is able to fill the vacuum that exists there is because of what we did in our previous war in Iraq, which was knocking out Saddam Hussein. Now, no matter what anyone says about Saddam Hussein, and as I said earlier, he's a horrible guy. He did horrible things, much of which was at when we were buddies with him. He had that area semi-stable. And what we did by knocking him out is destabilize it. If the Iraqi people wanted Saddam gone, then it's should have been up to them to knock him out. Since we did it, all this blood is on our hands. As Americans, we pay taxes. Guess what? We are, in a way, responsible for what the hell happened over there. And it's horrible. We need to learn from these mistakes. And we need to stop letting these politicians and this media pull us into these horrible, horrible forms. Yo, here we go, going through the stereo.